Let's take the Word of God tonight, and we will go, if you would please, to the book of Acts. Acts chapter number 19. Thank you for that song. I greatly appreciate that. Acts chapter 19. In just a moment, we'll begin in verse number 1. This morning, as I ended the message, we talked about the goal of a life that gives, the life that is to give, not to get. But the goal is that Jesus Christ would be magnified, that He would be glorified. And tonight I want to continue that subject as we come to Acts chapter 19. And I want to preach on this subject. The name of Jesus was magnified. What a great statement that we find in the book of Acts. In fact, as you study the Bible, you're going to find something. You will not find a sermon in the New Testament that does not center on the person and the work of Jesus Christ. You'll not find one. Paul never spoke but that he included Jesus Christ. He wanted to magnify the name of Jesus. In fact, the apostles, as they preached, they were not interested in building their own reputations. They were not interested in lifting up themselves. They were interested in lifting up the name of Jesus Christ. And by the way, they performed great miracles. We see that in the book of Acts. But even in the midst of their miracles that God enabled them to do, they brought honor and glory to the Lord and not to themselves. Now, next Sunday is Sacrifice Sunday, and you know, I preach on this and talk about this, but really the truth of the matter is, it is not about what we give or how much we give. I believe it comes down to this one thing, and that is that the name of Jesus Christ to be glorified. That's really what church is about. It is about lifting up that precious name. It is about telling others about Jesus Christ, that He would be magnified and glorified. We come to Acts 19. It's a wonderful story. And I want you to notice some things in here. What happens when the name of Jesus is magnified? Well, let's find it in Acts chapter 19. We begin in verse number 1. And it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus, and finding certain disciples, he said unto them, Have ye received the Holy Ghost since ye believed? And they said unto him, We have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. And he said unto them, Unto what then were you baptized? And they said, Unto John's baptism. Then said Paul, John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him which should come after him, that is, on Christ Jesus. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid his hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came on them, and they spake with tongues and prophesied. And all the men were about 12. And he went into the synagogue and spake boldly for the space of 3 months, disputing and persuading the things concerning the kingdom of God. But when divers were hardened and believed not, but spake evil of that way before the multitude, he departed from them and separated the disciples, disputing daily in the school of one Tyrannus. And this continued by the space of 2 years, so that all they which dwelt in Asia heard the word of the Lord Jesus, both Jews and Gentiles. And God wrought special miracles by the hands of Paul, so that from his body were brought into the sick handkerchiefs or aprons, and the diseases departed from them, and the evil spirits went out of them. Then certain of the vagabond Jews, exorcist, took unto them to call over them which had evil spirits the name of the Lord Jesus, saying, We adjure you by Jesus, whom Paul preacheth. And there were 7 sons of one Sceva, a Jew and chief of the priests, which did so. And the evil spirit answered and said, Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are ye? And the man in whom the evil spirit was leaped on them and overcame them and prevailed against them, so that they fled out of that house naked and wounded. And this was known to all the Jews and Greeks also dwelling at Ephesus. And fear fell on them all, and the name of the Lord Jesus was magnified. And many that believed came and confessed and showed their deeds. Many of them also which used curious arts brought their books together and burned them before all men. And they counted the price of them and found it 50,000 pieces of silver. So mightily grew the word of God and prevailed. Now I want you to go back to verse number 17. And I want you to, if you're in the habit of marking in your Bible, I want you to mark this last phrase. And let me read the verse again. And this was known to all the Jews and Greeks also dwelling at Ephesus. And it says, and fear fell on them all, and the name of the Lord Jesus was magnified. What a statement that we find in the Bible. And what a goal, a desire for our lives and for our church. What about for your life purpose, for your life and your family, that the name of the Lord Jesus would be magnified? Not my name, not your name, not necessarily our church's name, but that Jesus would be magnified. You know something, when you think of something being magnified, it is brought bigger. All right? The idea, when I was a little kid, I used to have magnifying glasses. And, of course, I would take them outside. And, of course, sometimes I would magnify my sister's eye and show her how big it was and things like that. And but magnified is brought bigger, exalted, glorified. And the idea was that the name of Jesus would be magnified. Now, what happens when the name of Jesus is magnified? Number one, we notice in our passage, when the name of Jesus is magnified, there will be unity. You know something, in a church, unity is never the goal. You know, it's funny, if all we talk about is, let's be unified. Listen, unification only happens when Jesus Christ is glorified. When we all are seeking to glorify the name of Jesus, there is unity. Can I tell you what happens mostly in marriages and families and often in churches? It's when people want to be magnified. When people want to be exalted. Hey, my opinions and my rights and what I want to be done. Listen, when you die to all of that and Jesus Christ is the goal and He is to be magnified, there will be unity. You want there to be unity in a marriage and a husband and wife getting along together? I'll tell you, when they want Jesus to be magnified in their marriage, there will be unity. Jesus is the one who unifies us. Let's take our Bibles and go to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. You're in the book of Acts, so go to the right if you would please. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, let me show you something here about Jesus Christ being magnified. How that it brings unity. When His name is magnified, there will be unity. By the way, the churches in the book of Acts were marked by loving fellowship, where the Bible describes them as being in one accord. Now, I'm not talking about a Honda Accord. I'm talking about one accord, all right? They were in one accord. There was fellowship. Why? Because they were all about lifting up Jesus Christ. Think about this just for a moment. When we all are concerned about Jesus being glorified and people be drawn unto Him, there will be unity in this church. There will be unity among your friends. And by the way, if you know, unity has to do with we all have the same interest. And when we have that same interest, and when I'm wanting to follow Jesus and lift Him up, and you're wanting to follow Jesus and lift Him up, there will be unity. Great unity. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse number 10, the Bible says this. It says, now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that ye all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. Notice that word same there. They were to speak the same thing. And the Bible says they were to have the same mind and the same judgment. Why? Because the name of Jesus Christ, when our eyes are on Jesus, we want to lift Him up. We want His will to be done. We want Him to be glorified. There will be unity. Go with me on a little journey here, if you would, please. Let's go back to the book of Acts. But let's start in the first chapter. All right? Let me show you something here about the fellowship and the unity when Jesus Christ is magnified. Now, you say, Pastor, why do you preach this message tonight? Well, because I believe from this morning, I just enjoyed talking about how Christ should be our goal and that Jesus Christ to be glorified. It's not because I know of any disunity in our church, and I mean that. I'm thankful for your fellowship, and I'm thankful for your love for the Lord and the love for God's Word. But we must never forget that it is all about Jesus Christ. It's all about Him. It is not about me. You know, in a church like this, you know, there has to be a shepherd. There has to be a pastor. But may I say to you, this is not about me. It's not about my work. It's not about what I want to do. This is about all of us collectively glorifying the name of Jesus Christ. And when we are seeking to do that, there will be fellowship. There will be unity. There will be sweet communion together because we're concerned about one thing, and that is about Jesus Christ. Look, I've heard of churches. My dad, when he was very young, my dad started pastoring when he was, I think, 19 years of age, and pastoring small Southern Baptist churches. And, you know, I don't think it's always like this, but where my dad was, I can only say where he was. But boy, there were so many divisions and problems and people getting upset about this and that. And by the way, it was always petty things. It was always little things, nothing doctrinal and nothing biblical. But you know, when you think about that, why do people act that way? I'll tell you why. When they are not concerned about Jesus Christ being glorified, when we are concerned about our opinions or our rights or what we want to be lifted up, what we want to be exalted, that's where problems come in. But when Jesus Christ is exalted, in fact, the Bible says, I love John 12:32, it says, "And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me." You know something, we live in a day and time in which churches are doing everything imaginable to get people to come to church, you know? And look, I'm all for us getting people to church, but I believe we must keep the standard and the purity of God's Word at a premium. But may I say this to you, when we distract from the name of Jesus Christ, listen, Jesus Christ is the only thing that must be glorified in our church. Him and Him alone. Look what the Bible says, Acts chapter 1, look in verse number 14. Now, go with me on this journey. We're going to jump around here a little bit, and I'm going to show you some things. Acts 1 and verse number 14, the Bible says, "These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with His brethren." The Bible says they were in one accord in prayer and supplication. You know something? There is something unifying when we are in prayer together. Yesterday we had a men's prayer meeting, and not all the men were able to come, but we had a good time of fellowship. Listening to the men praying out loud, bro, I'm going to tell you something, it does something for me. I mean, it really does. You know why? I'll tell you why. It's because we are glorifying the name of Jesus Christ. Yesterday when I was sitting there and I was listening to the prayers and we were praying together and, you know, have a prayer partner, and I was listening to the person I was praying with, I could hear all the men lifting up the voice of God and praying to God. And you know what I thought in that moment? I thought, the Lord must look on this and say, I like that. I believe the Lord looks upon that and says, that is good, that is pleasant to my eyes and pleasant to my ears. And folks, I'm going to tell you something. It is all about lifting up the name of Jesus. We find here they were in one accord. Let's go to Acts chapter 2 and look in verse number 1. Notice what the Bible says. "And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place." Let's go to Acts chapter 2, verse 46. Notice what the Bible says here. All right, now this thought, when Jesus' name is magnified, there will be unity. Looks in Acts chapter 2, verse 46. Notice what the Bible says. "And they, continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house." Isn't that something right there? They already knew that food went in with unity, you know? I mean, let's be honest, I'm not really trying to make a joke here, but look what it says. It says, and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness. And by the way, you vegetarians, I want you to look at this verse here, all right, okay? They did eat their meat. I don't know who was a vegetarian here, right? I have no idea. But by the way, my sons and I were at Burger King the other day. Okay, do you know the word Burger King? They had a vegetarian burger there, right? I thought that is a disgrace in the name of God. You know, I mean, it really is, you know. All right, let's get back on track here, all right? The Bible says, and they continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Look at that picture there. They were going from house to house, breaking bread, and they were eating their meat with gladness. They were lifting up the name of Jesus Christ, and people were getting saved. You know why? Because that is what happens when the name of Jesus Christ is magnified. Now let's go, if you would, to chapter 4 of Acts. Acts chapter 4, and look what it says in verse number 24. I love this thought. These believers had one mind. They were of one accord. They had one passion. They had one heartbeat. And that was the name of Jesus to be magnified. Acts chapter 4, look what it says in verse 24. It says, and when they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, thou art God, which hast made heaven and earth and the sea and all that in them is, who by the mouth of thy servant David has said, why did the heathen rage and the people imagine vain things? We could read on here, but notice the word of God was given and with one accord. Folks, tonight, God's precious name, the name of his son, Jesus Christ, when he is exalted, it brings unity. By the way, only the Holy Spirit can take people from all kinds of walks of life, of different backgrounds, different races, different social and economic status, and make them one. By the way, do you know something? Church is a pretty remarkable thing. Do you know that? I mean, I'm going to tell you something, all right? I don't know that you go any other place where there is unity or there should be unity. But I believe in a church, you find something. What unifies us? Well, it's the Spirit of God that unifies us together as we are seeking to exalt the name of Jesus Christ. I'll tell you this, I've gone lots of places and there's no unity there. I find no unity at Walmart. I just want you to know that right now, all right? Okay? It's one of my least favorite places in all the world. Any men agree with me here, all right? Okay, we're going to have revival break out here tonight, all right? You know something? There are no Walmarts in heaven. Praise God for that, all right? I just want you to know that. But you know something? We go to different places, and we're around different types of people. There's no unity there. There is no harmony. There is no fellowship. There is no one mind and one spirit. But in the house of God, as we are seeking together, collectively, to lift up the name of Jesus, there is unity. There is sweet fellowship. The Holy Spirit can unify people into a beautiful example of God's grace and His mercy in our lives. And by the way, we are here to fight against the devil and to fight against sin and not each other. We are here to that. Now, do we take a stand? Yes, we take a stand. Do we stand on our Bible convictions and Bible principles? Yes. But may I say to you, let us guard against fighting against preferences and petty differences between one another. When we harbor bitterness in our heart or we spread gossip about one another, I want you to know something. We are just hurting the unity that God wants us to have here at Grace Baptist Church. Now, we noticed some things. Number one, the early church was unified in serving. Did you know that? They were unified together. Look, you're in Acts chapter 4. Let's go to verse number 32. I want to show you this, all right? They were unified in their serving together. Acts chapter 4, and let's just begin in verse 31. The Bible says, and when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they had assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul. Neither said any of them that aught of the things which he possessed was his own. But they had all things common. Now let me stop and say this to you. You know, I could preach for weeks about Sacrifice Sunday, and I could talk and beg you to give and all of that. But I don't really believe that's the emphasis. I believe the emphasis is that when we are unified and we are seeking to magnify the name of Jesus Christ, then we will do what these early Christians did. They were of one mind and one heart. And look what they did. They said, verse 32, and the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and one soul. Neither said any of them that aught of the things which he possessed was his own. You know what they said? We are stewards. They said, what God has given to us is not our own. We are coming together. And what did they do? They sold things to meet the needs of the congregation. Total unselfishness marked their willing sacrifice. And that's really what it comes down to. We read on. Look what it says in verse 33. And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And great grace was upon them all. Neither was there any among them that lacked. For as many as were possessors of lands or houses sold them, and brought the prices of the things that were sold, and laid them down at the apostles' feet. And distribution was made unto every man according as he had need. They were so unified that they said, I'm going to tell you what, we're going to work together and we're going to give together, because they wanted the name of Jesus Christ to be magnified. But secondly, the early church was unified in their outreach, their soul winning. Go to Acts chapter number 13, if you would, please. I want to show you this. And I know tonight that we kind of jumping around here, but I want to show you something. But I believe this is so important. And by the way, God is even able to knit our hearts together as we deal with trials and heartaches that bring us closer to one another. When the name of Jesus Christ is magnified, there will be unity. Look what it says in Acts 13, verse 1. Now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Simeon, that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manaen, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. And when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. So they, being sent forth by the Holy Ghost, departed unto Seleucia. From thence they sailed to Cyprus. Now, you know what they were doing? They were sending people out on missionary work. They were together. They fasted. They prayed. They were unified. They knew the mind of God, and they knew what God had for them. This church, and may God help it to be true of our church, and may God help it to be true of you and your family, that there is unity as we seek to magnify the name of Jesus Christ. Number two, the last thing we notice tonight, when the name of Jesus is magnified, there will be purity. Not just unity, but there will be purity. Go back to Acts chapter 19, all right? And let's remember our story here tonight and what we see. Now, by the way, number one, we are purified through separation unto the Lord. Now, separation, true Bible separation, is, yes, it is separation from unholiness, but it is really separation unto the Lord. Folks, may I say to you, God is the great separator. He is the one who separates us. There are things that may be in your life right now that the Lord wants to separate from you. He wants to divide from you. Oh, God wants unity, but in order for there to be good unity, there must be purity. When the name of Jesus is magnified, there will be purity. Go back to Acts chapter number 19, and let's look at a couple of verses here. Begin in verse number 18. Notice what the Bible says. And many that believed came and confessed and showed their deeds. Many of them also, which used curious arts, brought their books together. Now let's stop and before I read on. Now what was this? This was devil worship. This was sorcery, curious arts. They had books, and it was about how to worship the devil and no doubt to call forth spirits. And by the way, real things. Folks, there is a real spirit world out there, and those things are real. And the Bible says, notice what it says in verse 19, and burned them before all men. And they counted the price of them and found it 50,000 pieces of silver. Now, I've tried to study this. This 50,000 pieces of silver in today's terminology would have been about $30,000. I'm going to tell you something. You talk about a purifying work. When I was youth pastor, we used to do our own camp, and we'd go rent out a facility. And we brought our teen group there, and we'd have bring in a camp speaker and do all kinds of things, you know. Just had a lot of fun with it. But you know something? On the Sunday after camp, we would have a bonfire service. Now, a part of that bonfire service was testimonies, one of the young people to give testimonies about what God had done in their heart. But another part of it was for them to burn things. And I'm not talking about school books, all right? I'm not talking about that, okay? I know we want to burn those, but I'm talking about they would bring CDs, rock music, magazines. They would bring things and throw them in the fire. You know what? It was a symbol of purity. Fire purifies. Fire cleanses. And folks, do you know what happens when the name of Jesus Christ is magnified? There is nothing that brings more purity than that very thing. I remember when I got saved and I came to know the Lord as my Savior. And I remember God began a purifying work in my life, and I needed a lot to be purified. In fact, I still need the purification of the Lord. But you know what God began to do in my life? It wasn't necessarily that the preacher got up and preached on specific things, although that is good. But it wasn't that he preached on, you need to stop doing this and don't do that and don't be a part of that. It wasn't that. I'm going to tell you what the preacher did. When he magnified the name of Jesus, when Jesus was glorified and lifted up, I'm going to tell you, when you're in his presence, you see the sin in your life and it brings a purifying work to your heart. Because when you see the Lord Jesus Christ, I'm not speaking you see him visibly, but when Christ is lifted up and he is glorified and you are in that presence and you want to draw near to him, there will be things that you must separate from so that you can know him and love him and follow him. Oh, listen, here's these people. I mean, here they are. They're steeped in occult things, satanic worship, devil worship. And when the name of Jesus Christ is magnified, I'm going to tell you what happens. They burn the books. They get rid of those things. There is a house cleaning that goes on. Why? Because Jesus Christ, not only does he unify, but he purifies. Folks, tonight, we see that they were unified and purified and separated. But secondly, I believe they were purified through the purification of the Word. Do you know why it is so important to be in the house of the Lord? Because it brings a purifying effect to your life. The only way for a believer to live a clean life is by filling his heart and mind with the Word of God. Would you take your Bibles and let's go to Ephesians chapter 5 in closing. Ephesians chapter number 5. And I'm going to show you something I believe is very important. Ephesians chapter 5. And let's look in verse number 20. Notice what the Bible has to say here. So important. Of course, Ephesians chapter 5, the context is about being filled with the Spirit of God. And let's look at what it says. Ephesians 5, verse 20. Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't that something? In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. It goes on to say, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. But the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ. Notice the key, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Look in verse 26. That he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the Word, that he might present it to himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. Now, we can look at this passage that it is speaking of the church as a whole. But may I say to you, you are the church. I am the church. So often when we talk about the church, we're like, well, that's good because that's the church, Grace Baptist Church. I go there, but that's the church. You are the church. And the ideal here, folks, tonight is that the washing of the Word of God, it presents us a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle. Do you think tonight that there may be some spots? There might be some wrinkles? I remember when I was just a young person, I began ironing my own shirts. Lord help us. It was bad, you know? And I'll be honest with you. I know you're going to think this is terrible, all right? I'm going to be honest with you, okay? I wore a suit when I was younger, and my mom said, you're going to learn how to iron your shirts. Well, wasn't that a terrible mom to make me do that, you know? And no, I needed to learn that. But you know what I thought? I thought in my mind, hey, the only thing you really see is the collar and about right here, you know? So you know what I thought? That's all I'm going to iron, you know? And that's it, you know? I mean, the back, who sees the back, you know? Who sees my sleeves? I mean, good night, you know? I'm saving electricity is what I'm doing, you know? Well, you know, my mom, she didn't think about that. She said, son, I know you may not have wrinkles here, but you have wrinkles all over. Well, the ideal is sometimes I think we do that. We say, Lord, I've got everything that you can see in place, but God sees it all. And under the surface, there are things that spots and wrinkles. Have you ever gotten a spot, men, on your tie or your shirt? I remember one Sunday morning, I got something on my shirt. And it was white, so I took out some white out. And I did it. It got me through the service, you know. But may I say to you, the spot was still there. We may think to ourselves, well, you know, I've got these spots and wrinkles. The Lord uses the Word of God. And the Word of God washes over our soul. God's Word cleanses us, but it purifies us so that there's no spot, there's no wrinkle. And then it goes on to verse 27, or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. Now, this doesn't mean that we are sinless, but there's no blemish. It's just exactly the way the Lord wants it to be. And collectively, as Grace Baptist Church, when we are exalting the name of Jesus Christ, and I'm going to tell you something, you cannot criticize and exalt His name at the same time. You cannot gossip and exalt His name at the same time. You cannot complain and exalt His name at the same time. You can't do it. But when we are concerned that Jesus is lifted up, that people come to know Jesus as their Savior, that we are following Christ, I'm going to tell you something, when we do that, there'll be unity, there'll be sweet fellowship, and there will be purity. Folks, I want that true of my life, and I want that true of your life. Oh, may this be a glorious church without spot or wrinkle. Years ago, I remember singing the song, All Hail the Power of Jesus' Name. Can I read some of this to you? All hail the power of Jesus' name. Let angels prostrate fall. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown Him Lord of all. Ye chosen seed of Israel's race, ye ransomed from the fall. Hail Him who saves you by His grace and crown Him Lord of all. Sinners whose love can ne'er forget the wormwood and the gall, go spread your trophies at His feet and crown Him Lord of all. Let every kindred, every tribe on this terrestrial ball to Him all majesty ascribe and crown Him Lord of all. Oh, that with yonder sacred throng we at His feet may fall, we'll join the everlasting song and crown Him Lord of all. That hymn for many years was known as the national anthem of Christendom, the national anthem of Christianity. In fact, the lyrics to All Hail the Power of Jesus' Name were written by a man by the name of Edward Pirenee. Edward was a missionary to India, and that hymn appeared, he wrote it, in November of 1779. But I love this thing. All hail the power of Jesus' name. He understood something about the name of Jesus. In fact, years ago, there was a missionary by the name of Reverend E.P. Scott. He was also a missionary in India. And Scott was so greatly burdened for a tribe. And they were known as a barbarian tribe. They were known as a tribe that was so dangerous that they said, Scott, don't go there. Scott, you'll die. But he was so burdened for them. He wanted them to know the name of Jesus. Well, sure enough, as he journeyed to where they were, and he was simply just trusting in God to protect him. But before he reached the tribe, this barbarous tribe surrounded him with spears and bows in hand, and he just knew that his life was going to be taken. He had no weapon of defense or even offense with him, but all he had was a violin. And in that moment, he picked up his violin, and he closed his eyes, and he began to play All Hail the Power of Jesus' Name. In his heart, he thought, I'm going to play this and go to heaven because they're going to kill me. No doubt about it. But he began to play verse after verse, and his eyes were closed. And then all of a sudden, he opened his eyes, and there was the tribe surrounded him with the spears on the ground. That song had so mesmerized them. And the story goes on that he had the privilege to take the gospel, and those people came to know Jesus as their Savior. I'm going to tell you something. There is power in the name of Jesus Christ. And if you and I will live our lives that Jesus will be glorified, folks, it is all about Jesus. It is Jesus crucified and Him glorified in this church. May God help us tonight. Let's bow our heads in prayer.